Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello, 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 all you beautiful people. Thanks for being here again for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love slide into, devolve into BS. You can take that as bait and switch, or you can take it other places. It simply means to me, I refuse to live on any other basis of life than the basis of love, to stand alone on the credible basis of love alone. I know, I don't do it perfectly. I know better than you can ever tell me. In fact, I'm more quick to criticize myself and my love quotient than anybody else can be. But I also know this. I'm determined in 2022, this new year, to daily deepen my love quotient, which is to say that I am here to discover how to apply love more profoundly, more deeply, more significantly, more directly to everything I do in this life. That requires of me to stay on a learning curve, to rise above my own failures, which I have plenty of, as all of us do. But when I rise above my failures, I have to reach for something that is truly successful. I can't just say, well, that was a failure. I'll have to stop doing that. That's not enough. That's only half the recognition of failure. When I have failed, it is time to look for the step upward. And that step upward is love. And what's the next step upward? That's love too. Until we have made all the steps we know in any given day, then we haven't finished our project for the day. Whatever the projects are for the day, and I'm in one of those days where my projects are legion. I feel like I don't want to list them anymore. There's too many to count. But when my projects are legion and I forget to sustain my pursuit of love, well, then all my projects are just draining and leave me flat. It's time for all of us, myself included, to daily deepen our love quotient. That's my one New Year's resolution. I invite you to join me. So today I want to discuss with you how we become people of a love that matters, a love that matters. Hans Urs von Balthasar, I've quoted this Swiss theologian before. He's the one who has said that love alone is credible. So in seeing that, we're being invited to the treasure of a pursuit of something that keeps us attached to this eternal project that we call love. I'm convinced that every political challenge in our nation can be met when we begin and we end with love. When we start knowing that in my love relationships, I must require of myself an attachment to other people, even when I violently disagree, even when I mildly disagree. Love alone is credible to sustain, according to Hans Urs von Balthasar, to sustain credibility with anybody, from our most intimate relationships to our outer perimeter relationships. We're going to need to find how to stay in the credibility of love. So that credibility of love is what I want to discuss with you today. To sustain that credibility, to sustain that pursuit, to sustain that reach, to sustain that goal, this is not a small project. This is not a once-for-all discovery. You can't say of love, yeah, well, I fell in love, and, you know, like in a marriage, I've heard some folks say, well, I told her 10 years ago that I loved her. I don't have to tell her every day. Well, maybe telling isn't the point, but maybe deepening your love is the point. And then when you deepen the love, you're going to discover new ways to say, I love you. You're going to discover new ways to say it with truest connection to the credibility of what you've pursued in this life. So in making the pursuit of our love, the pursuit of our credibility in love, there's just some steps we've got to take. And the first step is to recognize that I am still a novice. I don't care how old I am. I don't care how many times I've been in some kind of relationship, whether it was with, again, a most intimate of relationship or friendships. I'm still a novice. I sometimes wonder if we have convinced ourselves that, you know, love is so natural to the human condition that we don't need to become masters in love, but we can remain novices in love. I sometimes wonder if that isn't somehow in our mindset, that we are somehow or another trapped in a notion that we pretty much know love instinctively. Now, you've heard me say here before that there is an instinct in love. There is, I think, from the first cry of every baby born, there is love going on in that baby's cry. The love of mom, the love of the security into which that baby is born is what that baby's crying for. Are you holding me right? Is my head held up? Are you going to hold tight to me? Are you going to get me free of that umbilical cord? Am I going to live, you know, outside of that warm, dark womb of my mother? Are you going to help me live? I need love. So for that newborn baby, love alone is credible. But from that first breath until our last, we are each one being invited to discover something more than what's just at a instinctive level. And that's what I'm talking about, to move beyond basic instincts. I know in my own life, my basic instincts have led me toward love for friends, you know, for neighbors, for even my enemies. There's some basic instinct in there, but I have also had to find in myself a deeper notion of how to move past my instincts toward full intentions, toward the steps of, well, okay, I love my neighbor. What can I do in demonstrating that love? What can I say in seeing to it that love it reaches full circle? Some many months ago, my wife and I were in a beautiful weather in our front yard, and we happened to, a neighbor was walking by. Now, we live in the country, and our nearest neighbor is about a little more than a quarter mile, maybe a half a mile away. And our neighbor was walking by, and we went out to greet our neighbor, and we were talking about, boy, it's been a while. How have you been? And he was talking about how tough things had been in his life, but he was doing okay. And we said, gosh, you know, how's your spouse? Well, the next statement he made absolutely floored my wife and I. Ginger and I were absolutely stunned, because he said that several weeks prior, his spouse had died. Well, we were crushed, first of all, for his pain, recognizing that, yeah, he'd been through a tough time and far more tough than we had dreamed. And we saw in his eyes the pain was still fresh. And we said, oh, no. And we had recognized we hadn't seen his wife in a while, and we knew she had multiple physical challenges, and that it wasn't unusual for her to be homebound with her physical challenges, but we were totally unaware that she had passed away. It was crushing, especially as we saw the pain in our neighbor's eyes. And we stood there and wept along with him for a moment or two, and we talked about what had happened, what led up to it, and then we turned toward our own grief, because we felt a sense of our own loss there. So we were weeping with those who were weeping, which was the priority. That's what love does. Love says, you're the priority, not me. And we started with the priority of our friend standing there in our front yard, and we discussed all of what he was walking through. And then we turned and found our own grief in the middle of it. And so there again, love is the only credible value. We recognized how much we loved our lost neighbor and how much out of love we felt that we could have been so much more, but we weren't. Now, I'm telling you that story not to feel bad about this whole situation, though I still do, and this has been so long ago. But yet, It reminds me to say to you, loving your neighbor is not a once-for-all commitment. For instance, just loving your neighbor. It means that there has to be some ongoing pursuit, some ongoing walk toward, what will I do today? How will I behave from love moving forward to be a credible human being? You see, we lose our credibility when we say, hey, to our neighbor, you know, 10 years ago, I told you I loved you. I love my neighbor. And then I walked away and never spoke to him again. See, that we lose credibility because just saying I love you does not fulfill the law of love. The law of love invites me. See, I hope you hear my words here. It's not a demand, though love has a variety of demands on it. But the law of love is truly an invitation to live a larger life, to live a better life, to live a more credible, more significant life that gets us out of ourselves and into the wide world around us. Another story of a neighbor, I went to a neighbor who had passed away that I was aware of some miles from our home. This neighbor had passed away, and I knew that he had had multiple physical challenges. And I had seen this person off and on again, but when he died, I decided I've got to attend that funeral. I need to be there to express my love to the family. And when I sat there in that funeral, I was so touched by how this man was so much more than I knew just in the brief moments that I had the opportunity to be around him. And I loved him, and I had expressed my love for him in other ways. But just sitting there in the memorial service reminded me that all around us are treasures of human beings that are waiting for our discovery. But in terms of getting to that discovery, we simply have to know how to savor someone else's story, to savor someone else's beauty, to savor someone else's journey. It is such a temptation in religious circles. And by the way, I'm a pastor of 50 years. I invite you during this time to just pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee, be comfortable, and let me offer you some pastoral counsel. And as a pastor of all these years, I have come to discover that we must savor the stories of other people and not be so quick, especially in religious circles, so quick to judge others unworthy of our love because they don't have doctrinal systems like us. They don't have the same belief systems like me. Run away from the us versus them mindset that religion is often uses to sustain people's involvement. I don't do that. Just please join me, would you, in a commitment to run away from the us versus them mindset. You know, in Protestant and Catholic circles, I heard it said one time, and I love how this is put. Christianity went through a terrible divorce when the Reformation happened. I'm a Protestant. When there was a leader by the name of Martin Luther who led a charge away from the Catholic Church, and rightfully so in that particular time. Those things that Martin Luther saw in his thesis that he nailed to the Wittenberg door were worthy of real, real significant challenges. And he out of love said, you know, we cannot stay here much longer. We're going to go on with our religious pursuits. But I believe that though Martin Luther had all the right reasons for the Reformation, I also believe that since then, now that we're in the 21st century, we have to recognize that Christianity's been through a divorce. Our Catholic mama and our Protestant dad. Or if you want the Catholic to be the dad and the Protestants to be the mom, I don't care. But we have to recognize that like a spousal divorce, we split up. And in the middle of our split, just like many, many divorces, there are children in between. What do we do about the kids? Well, I will tell you, as a pastor of 50 years, you better think about those children. You better think about those babies. better make sure. I'm not saying you don't split in terms of a practical day-to-day marriage that has to find a divorce, a separation. I don't mean that you shouldn't do that. I mean that you should take careful consideration, count the cost when you're looking at those kids, because those kids still have a mama, they still have a daddy. And to the degree that we make this about us versus them, to demonize daddy, to demonize mama, we're hurting and harming those children. So it is in the religious sense. This is what I'm really talking about here. In the religious sense, between Catholic and Protestant, there's been a divorce. And all of us, and I'm one of the kids of that divorce, we must learn to love, because love alone is credible. Love alone is the credible position to take in the process of that split. The us versus them mentality must be driven far from our thinking. And we must recognize that as people of faith in Christianity, we are one through Christ. And oh yeah, we pray differently. Oh yeah, we kneel differently. Oh yeah, we sing differently. Oh yes, we take communion differently. We do a lot of things differently, but we still name one name, and that name is Jesus Christ as our Lord. And as such, we are still a family. When you see the us versus them mentality in any venue, now set aside religion. Now let's talk about our nation right now. Let's talk about our neighbors. Let's talk about positions that we take in an us versus them mindset. It is so destructive when we don't sustain and embrace and hold tight to love alone. I'm not suggesting for one second that that's easy. In fact, I would propose it's the hardest of all the options, to love your enemy as you love yourself, to love those on the other side of an issue, the other side of an idea, the other side of what you're looking at, to love them, to hear them, to appreciate them. And even if we don't agree, to recognize that love is what we need to be a community, whatever that community may look like, whether it's the community of a family, the community of a village, of a city, of a township, whether it be the community of a church, the community of a business, of a job, whatever it may be, love alone is credible. So that if you have the owner of a particular business and that owner sees that you have employees that are seeing the projects from different vantage points, and everybody has their own idea, and their ideas may be equally beautiful and important. It's not enough. It's not enough to just say, well, you win and you lose. That's not enough. What must happen? And I feel this down all the way down to my toes. What must happen is a decision at some level. If it's a business, how do we find the credibility of loving each other through different ideas? How do we find the ability to listen to each other and still say, well, I don't agree with you, but I respect your right to that opinion. I respect your view enough that I'm willing to just have this business prosper because we love, not because we necessarily agree. That's tough. That's hard. I've said here before, I sat on a school board and as an elected member of a school board for 18 years. I saw firsthand how when you have 5 members of a school board, any given topic, any given teacher hire, any given coach issue, any given policy issue, any given facilities idea, you could have 5 different ideas on a board like that. But it's not important to drive somebody other than your opinion into the corner of darkness and say, I'm right and you're wrong. It's not enough. What has to be sought after is the credibility of love. That if I have a different view, that I still love, and I mean in a practical sense, I still love the partners that I'm working with, especially in that case as a school board member. There were many times we met late into the night and into the wee morning hours of struggling with how do we make a good decision for our students. And you know what we did? And I just said it. the students. What can we do as a board if we have five different ideas? How can we do something together that suits and serves our students in the best possible way? And we discovered many times the best possible way to serve our students was to love one another in some practical form and to come to some terms of healthy compromise. Oh yeah, compromise. Sounds like a swear word to some people, but I'm going to tell you, when it comes to a political arena, to a board arena, to a nonprofit organization, to a business, and yes, even in a family, sometimes a healthy compromise is that which is going to be the most credible way to love one another. Well, I'm coming down to the end of this particular episode, and again, I hope you have gotten comfortable and let me share with you my pastoral counsel. I have loved my 50 years as a pastor, but I will tell you, not all of those days in those 50 years have been easy days. I can also tell you that there have been many, many days when I thought, oh my goodness. In fact, my joke was, I think selling shoes would be a whole lot more preferable than being a pastor. I have wrestled with the lovelessness that sometimes came my way, and the greatest wrestling match I had was with my own heart. So as I wrestled with my heart, I had to learn, and I am still learning. I'm 68, and I am still learning. I've had to learn how to stop, take deep breaths, turn off the arguments, turn off the debates, turn off the us versus them, and breathe deep. Slow down my thoughts. I heard somebody years ago, they called it screaming therapy or something like that. And I tried it a few times, and really most of what I got out of it was just a sore throat. I think the better approach is to love yourself enough to breathe, and to breathe deep. Love yourself enough to just find some focus, whether it's a cloud in the sky, or maybe it's just a pet in your room, a cat or a dog, or maybe an aquarium with fish swimming in it, or maybe it's a beautiful portrait that you love. You know, if you've seen portraits of Christ in some beautiful, serene setting, or if it's some kind of religious symbol that gives you a settledness. Find that point, look at it, and breathe deep. Breathe deep because your body is adrenalized when you're struggling. And to lower that adrenaline, to lower your blood pressure, and to bring yourself back to the center of a credibility of love, you need to breathe. I want you to join me on the count of three. I want you to set up straight. Put your feet flat on the floor. Feel the air around you for just a moment. Maybe you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to open your eyes if you're looking at something that gives you repose and composure. And take a deep breath on the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in all the way to your diaphragm. Hold it in there. Feel that pressure. And exhale. Now that's just a sample. We don't have time here to do it for 5 minutes, but it is a sample of what you can do to slow yourself down. When there's complexities facing you, when there's anxieties that are pressing you, slow it down and give yourself some composure and credibility by loving yourself enough to slow it down. The second thing we do here every episode of the No BS Bishop is I challenge people to look somebody deep in the eyes. I know it's awkward. I've felt that awkwardness multiple times. And I know it feels weird because we are so accustomed to just saying, I love you, real fast and running away. But I also know that this is a part of centering yourself in the most credible truth of all the human experience, and that is love. If it's a friend, you can say to your friend, hey, I'm going to make it a little weird here for a minute, but I need you to look me in the eye, and I'm going to tell you, my friend, I love you. But if it's a spouse, somebody that you're intimately connected with, you can take it even deeper and give that person the benefit of the credibility of love. to look them straight in the eye, slow the words down, and say, I love you. It'll mean as much in the giving as it is in the receiving. I've also come to learn through life that some people haven't heard I love you sometimes for weeks or even months. And that's human, is eager and hungry for love. Well, all right. I can't even express to you how honored I am to just feel like I'm talking to somebody and I'm giving you the benefit of my counsel. God bless you all. God is love. Love is God. Those who dwell in God dwell in love, and those who dwell in love dwell in God. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, 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 ugly. Whew. Ugly has been done to death. Let's be the credible people alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.